Good morning, Delaware. What a beautiful autumn morning.
I'm going to take it. Yep. Every single day that it's above 40, I'm going to take it.
I wish.
The frost was out there this morning when I went out to get the paper.
Uh-huh.
But what was really gorgeous was the crescent moon with the, I think it was Venus, just off of the edge of the crescent moon.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was so pretty this morning.
That indeed was Venus.
Was it Venus? Thank you.
Listen to you, Gage.
Hey, I'm the space nerd here.
Gage knows his space. In fact, he mentioned that there's an astronaut launch this weekend.
That's right. It's tomorrow. Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I thought, and this year Mars has been the closest that it's been in a long time, too.
So anyway, it was just a
beautiful
morning.
Listen to us talking about space.
Hi, I'm Bill Nye, the science guy. If anybody knows me, they know I know nothing about science. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
Our guest is Jenny Ho, who is the assistant branch manager for Children's Services at the Orange Branch Library. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Uh-oh, we can't hear Jenny.
Oh, she's not.
I hope she didn't mute herself. That's what we always get on Zoom. While we're trying to get Jenny's vocal back in here, I just want to congratulate the people of Delaware County for your great turnout for the Friends Flower Sale. It was huge. They had sold well over 230 plants and just exceeded their goal. And so the Friends of the Delaware County District Library and the Delaware County Historical Society both did very well. So thank you, Delaware, for your support.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to pick up your plants on Monday, December 7th, at between, I believe it's 3 and 7. It's like after 3. It's late afternoon at the barn at Stratford.
I'm excited. I'm excited for my little Whoville tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to getting mine, too.
And my lavender tree.
So, and also, we were just talking before we went on the air about who is going to replace Alex Trebek.
Yes.
So sad about Alex, but, you know, not unexpected. So my money's on Ken Jennings. I really like Ken Jennings. And the other candidate that I read, a friend of mine is pushing, is LeVar Burton.
Which I am shocked because I thought that Ken Jennings was the obvious choice. But LeVar Burton, he is beloved. So, I mean, I'm not unhappy with either.
Yeah, between Reading Rainbow and Star Trek The Next Generation, you can't hardly beat his credentials.
Well, and that hits a range of, you know, generations as well. I mean, my generation knew him from Reading Rainbow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I loved Next Generation. I thought Captain Picard was the best captain the Enterprise has ever had.
Yeah.
So.
Her audio should be good now.
Yep. Okay, good.
Check, check. Jenny, are you with us?
Can you hear
me? Ah, yes, we can hear you now.
Yay!
That was actually on my end, so I apologize.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's okay,
Gage. Had the wrong button in.
Well, that's fine. How are you doing, Jenny?
Doing well. How are you all?
Great. We're going to be talking about a new personalized pick program that we're launching here at the library. So before we do that, Nicole, what you got today?
Well, I did some driving this weekend. And as I mentioned last week, I have been working on an audiobook and it's a 12-hour one. So a little bit longer. And I don't have a commute to and from work. So unless I'm making a long trip, I don't really get to chunk away at it too much. So I'm still working on that book. It's really beautiful, though. That's the one that's called The 10,000 Doors of January by Alex Harrows. And I'm continuing to enjoy it. And there are lots of twists and turns, even more after I left off last week. So I haven't been reading too much. I was trying to look up next week on Wednesday, the winner of the National Book Award will be chosen. The finalists are posted. And I didn't have too much to say about that. but I have something special. So if you'll bear with me one moment, George, I have a present for you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. A present for me.
Yeah.
Oh, she's not kidding either.
Wow.
So my dad is a collector of comic books, and he heard your discussion about Stan Lee a couple weeks ago, and he just knows that you're a comic book aficionado, and so he wanted to gift you Superman, the Man of Steel, faces his most desperate struggle for life against beings of fire, earth, air, and water in the element enemies, and so he wanted to gift this to you.
Wow.
He got it for 12 cents as a youth.
Sure, yeah.
And he said that a perfect mint of that comic book would probably valued at about $140 today.
Wow.
He said that is not a perfect mint.
No, but it's still cool.
It's in pretty good condition.
Yeah.
And so he wanted me to gift that to you from one comic book lover to another.
Wow. That's classic. It's the old one. They had the black and white checkerboard behind the Superman logo up there, and the I think that's a Kurt Swan cover. That is amazing.
Thank
your father for me. That's what a nice gift.
He's a listener, so he's probably listening this morning or checking in on Facebook.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. How cool. Wow.
And he's got many more. I think his one that another one that he bought for 12 cents that he's really proud of, that's in really good condition, I think he said is valued up like near $250.
Wow.
And so, yeah, he's like, okay, I hung on to these things and they finally came about. I don't know if the folks who hung on to like Beanie Babies are going to get that kind of return.
I had a friend who really planned to make his retirement on baseball cards.
Ooh,
and it really hasn't worked
out. Not so much.
No.
I don't think Denny Drum's going to retire on comic books, but, you know, at least he might make a buck or two.
That's more than you hoped for when you bought them when you were like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right, so. Yeah.
So, Jenny, do you have any books or other media you'd like to share?
Yeah, so the one I brought today is called The New One, Painfully True Stories from a Reluctant Dad. This is by comedian Mike Birbiglia,
if you're familiar with him. Yes.
Yeah, and it has poems by J. Hope Stein, so that's his wife, is a poet. I loved this book. I read it actually. I'm in the middle of so many books right now. I kind of shared one I read over the last couple of months, but this is a great one, especially for parents. So in 2016, I'm going to call them Mike and Jen because Birbiglia, if I say it over and over, will be tough to say. But yeah, as they were, you know, in 2016, they were just married. They were, you know, childless. They're like, we don't think we want kids. As Mike says in the book, I've lost a lot of great friends to
yeah.
And then his wife tells him, you know, I want to abandon this vow to be childless. So Mike kind of counteracts her argument. He talks about his dangerous sleepwalking disorder, which if you're not familiar with his disorder, it's pretty serious.
Oh.
Like he talks in the book about fashioning his own like straight.
Her connection's a little choppy there.
A little choppy.
Is it? Can you hear me, guys?
Yep.
Yeah,
now we can. Yeah, it was a little choppy
okay.
there.
Hey, yeah. So this sleepwalking disorder is himself in a great jacket. He's got his mittens on his hands. He's got his door bolted shut to keep him locked away. Like he's jumped out of a window before, so it's pretty serious. So he's like, this is not a good environment for a child. But.
Oh, go ahead, George, I guess.
But Akka talks about her journey. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. It's just dropping a little bit here and there.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it like similar. Okay. So yeah, they embark on their journey. And then basically it talks about some of the darker moments, some of the funny moments. And I like it a lot because it has the poems in it as well. So you get sort of that the mother perspective and the father perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really recommend it. The new one. And if you like this, or if you want like a quicker version, there's a Netflix special of his Broadway show of the same name.
Ooh.
Too. So it's very similar to that.
Great.
That's awesome.
So check it out.
I heard Mike Birbiglia talk about his sleepwalking on This American Life.
Oh.
He did a great piece on that. I think it was on This American Life, talking about how it has affected his life. And yeah, he just had to go to really extreme measures to stop from doing things like what she said, falling out of a window while he was sleepwalking.
Goodness.
So yeah. So, all right. So, you know, with COVID and climate change and political unrest and the Bachelorette leaving in the middle of the series, all these terrible things that are going on in the world. But no matter how bizarre life gets, I wake up every morning thinking, whatever providence guides us, that I'm not in high school anymore. So the book I read this week was called 50 in Reverse by Bill Flanagan. It was just published in September. I read it in an advanced reader copy. And so one morning, Peter Wyatt, who's a successful 65-year-old music producer, internet radio executive, getting ready to retire. He's happily married. He's got great grown kids. He wakes up and discovers that he's his 15-year-old high school student self, living back in his parents' home in 1970 in the spring in Connecticut. He thinks it's another one of these awful dreams he's been having as an adult, and he tries to shake himself out of the dream. So he goes to high school, strips himself naked in the cafeteria.
Oh.
Discovers it's not a dream.
No.
Yeah, not good. So no one actually believes he's from 2020. And so his parents think he's just really gone around the bend. So they introduce him to this psychologist, Terry Canyon, who's at Harvard. He's kind of a hippie, new age psychologist. And he tries to help Peter get over his delusions, as he calls them. But then the detail and the depth of knowledge that Peter shows really kind of flummoxed Dr. Canyon. Peter tells Dr. Canyon the way the Vietnam War is going to end, tells him how Nixon and Agnew will be forced to resign, how Gerald Ford will become president and pick Nelson Rockefeller as his vice president. But then things get just a little different. They're different than the way he remembers them. For example, Nelson Rockefeller dies in a helicopter crash in 1970, 4 years before he's appointed as vice president in Peter's world.
Ooh.
Yeah, weird. So all through this, Peter just wants to get home to his wife, back to 2020, where he had a really good life, even though he knows he's got fewer tomorrows than yesterdays in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But he really does want to get back. But as the possibility starts to slip away, he decides that at least for a while he's going to make the most of it. So he starts writing songs that he's known that haven't been written yet.
Oh, no.
So right after Kent State, he sits down and writes out the words to Ohio by Neil Young.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now he's a hero in high school, and he gets involved in bed. And at that point, I thought, oh, my God, this book is just going to be like a ripoff of Yesterday.
Doesn't he know about the butterfly effect?
Yeah, well, yeah. Fortunately, the book doesn't play out that way.
Okay.
He doesn't become world famous by stealing other people's songs. The guy who wrote this, Bill Flanagan, is pretty well known around radio and music. For 20 years, he was an executive with MTV.
Mm-hmm.
He helped produce the Concert for New York after the September 11th attacks.
Yeah.
He's produced specials on the Beatles and Elvis and Garth Brooks and Paul McCartney and all sorts of other people. He hosts four shows right now on XM Radio, including two that I listen to on the Beatles channel, The Fab Forum and Northern Songs.
Oh, okay.
So he really does know his stuff, and he applies it here really well. And the interesting thing, this is it's a time travel novel with absolutely no pseudoscientific and very little philosophical explanation for how this all happened. To me, the ending seemed a little weak, but this is still really entertaining. It's a good read for a winter night, and it just might make you think what it would be like to be a teenager with an impossible secret and a pretty thorough knowledge of how the next 45 or 50 years are going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty good. 50 in Reverse by Bill Flanagan. Probably would make a good made-for-TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I enjoyed it. So I hope you will too. And so we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jenny about our new plans. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We have Jenny Ho on the phone now instead of on Skype because we had a little problem with the connection there. So can we hear you now, Jenny?
I believe so.
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear. Great. Thank you. So I sort of teased this by talking about personalized picks. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure. So this is a brand new service we're providing for our patrons. Essentially, you can fill out a form on our website letting us know some details about your reading preferences to help us pick out your next great read. So in the form, we'll ask you a few questions that'll let us know the books you read recently you really loved, what you love most about them, the kind of books you're in the mood for right now, and any content you might want to avoid, like if you really don't want a super sad book or you don't want a book over 400 pages, for instance.
Right.
That's always helpful. That's always helpful to hear that from our patrons. And then you'll receive a request. We will receive your request. And as quickly as we can, we'll email you back with a list of about 5 to 7 titles we think you might like to try next. So in our response to you, we'll provide a link to each title. So that'll take you directly to our catalog to request the title if you wish. But you can also just email us back and let us know if you want to place like those directly on hold for you, too. We can do that, too. Now, the service is mainly geared at adult readers, but we can absolutely take requests for children's or teen materials as well. I've been sharing it at a lot of school visits, and people are pretty excited. So the only thing I ask with requests for children is that I would recommend that the parent or guardian fill out the form so that you receive enough information, because I can just imagine the kind of responses we'll get from like a first or second grader if
I could
they
even
fill it out
see,
on their own.
Yeah, so, I could even see a teen saying something like, give me a book that doesn't stink.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So the more information, the better.
Right.
The form is found on our website. So we'll link it in the accompanying show notes. for the podcast version of this show. But the form can be found at our website, DelawareLibrary.org/personalize. That's PersonalizedPICS, PICKS. And that'll talk you through how this all works, and you can fill it out, and you'll get a response from us.
So we did test this before we launched it, and Nicole, you were one of our test requesters, weren't you?
Yeah, actually, it's so funny because I just pulled up. I submitted one of the things that you'll see when you fill out the form is it'll ask like, what are some of the most recent books that you've read that you've enjoyed? Right, mm-hmm. That you got to add that caveat that you enjoyed.
Right.
If you say something that you didn't enjoy, just explain why. Basically, like I hated that it was epic. You know, I hated mm-hmm. that it was whatever. And it's so funny because I was looking back through, and Jenny, you had actually replied to my form that I had filled out, and I'm seeing that one of the books that you recommended was The 10,000 Doors of January, which is what I'm currently reading, and I'm loving
yes,
it. So.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah, because I had put in my form that I had recently read The Starless Sea. And so, for example, you sent me the link, The 10,000 Doors of January by Alex Harrow. And then you wrote a little description. You said, like fans of The Starless Sea, readers who enjoy books about books, which is what it is. It's mm-hmm. a book about a book, will appreciate this lush, lyrical fantasy novel in which the main characters stumble upon mysterious books that reveal complex hidden worlds to explore with the aid of new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, oh my gosh, so perfect. So I'm very like, and then let's see, you did lots of other great recommendations. I had some crazy ones in there because I had also just finished a horror novel. So like totally on the other end of the genre, you recommended one that I know you've loved, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires. But I know that also you guys are really trying to recommend that like keep one genre within your pick request, but then you could submit as many individual requests as you want. So like let's stick within kind of fantasy for this request, submit it, and then come back and do another request and submit it for horror.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, when I called in to talk to Mark on the Breakfast Club before this show, I said that one of the things that was interesting about this is that there's actually a human being on the other end. It's not an algorithm like Amazon or something like that that's producing these. But it takes a lot of knowledge about books to do something like this. So give us a little background on how you're pulling these together.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes. Yeah, so we have a small team of us. We're kind of across all departments. So there are some of us that are more teen focused, more kids, or more adults. And when we're taking the request, we kind of start with those read-alike, like direct read-alikes to the titles that the patron tells us. The first place I always go is Novelist Plus, which is available on our website under the research tab. That's a really great one, and it does give you very good comparisons of like the tone or mm-hmm. Just kind of the types of characters or setting. So that's like definitely the first stop for me. But it's not the only stop. We've had one patron that filled this out so far since we just launched it that shared their Goodreads page. So that was a great way for us to see, okay, they rated it like this book not so high. So maybe I'll steer away from that kind of recommendation. But this one they gave 5 stars. So great.
Oh, nice.
We also have probably about 15 other resources we're using. One that I really like is that I haven't actually had a chance to use quite yet because no one has really specified content that they want to avoid yet. But there's a site called Does the Dog Die, which I thought was very helpful.
I love that title
for a website. But that's a really fun one because you can type in. It's not like, I wouldn't say it's foolproof because there's definitely like more to be added. It kind of relies on the users to kind of add data to it. But like you can find out like there's even some about like, are snakes in the book or like,
oh my gosh,
you know, I don't know, like really, really specific things that people might be like, not for me.
Snakes. It had to be snakes.
You can kind of check through and see what's in it. Yeah.
So would that website, Jenny, be something that would be good for even like, you could do it for kind of, you know, like I absolutely don't want a book about spiders, but could it even be for something for someone who has like certain trigger warnings? Like I really need to stay away things that talk about this type of content.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, it's not foolproof. Reviews are also, we also consult reviews for that sort of thing too.
Right.
A really good one for younger ages is the Common Sense Media website. I like that one a lot. Because that tells you exactly what curse words are in it, exactly what kind of situations are happening. So if you do have those triggers, like that's a good one too.
Or if you want to learn some new curse words.
It does group them all in there. So you get them all in one little segment. But yeah, it would probably find that as well, Nicole, especially for more popular titles.
Very cool. Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. Does the dog die? I'm going to have to check that out just because now.
So
yes, you should. I think, yeah, go ahead.
What kind of turnaround time are you looking on doing these? So if like I finish this book and I'm just ready to start something else, so I send in the request, what do you think is going to be the usual turnaround time?
That's a good question. So far we've kind of had a little bit trickled down. We've only had probably about a handful so far since we just launched it of requests, but we do have a small team. We do check it pretty much daily. I think the only day we aren't checking it is Sundays or on Sundays. So we do have us all checking it. We assign it pretty quickly. I mean, I've been responding to people within a day or two, but it kind of depends on how popular this becomes. So that's kind of why we're not promising, oh, you'll have it within 24 hours, just in case, you know, any scheduling things come up or we get like a big influx of requests.
Sure.
Too. So
that makes sense.
As quick as we can.
That's great.
Usually pretty quick.
Well, that sounds really good. Just to give me some sense, how specific do I need to be? Like, can I say, like the book I just read, I don't like time travel. Don't give me anything with time travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that would work, I think.
Okay.
Like the one you just read, and I apologize because it cut out. I was trying to move. I hid in a closet for the radio show. But so I didn't hear all the details of what you were talking about, George. But I would imagine if you had that one down, but you said you didn't want time travel, that would be something that would just challenge us a little bit more. But we could find other elements of the story you liked that weren't time travel. Like Nicole had some that were like that, too, that kind of challenged us at first because she had some that were, I would say, horror. But then she's like, I'm not really in the mood for that right now. But those were the ones I liked recently.
Right,
so
right. Yeah.
Kind of tried to find some other elements to pair.
Right.
So
this is what
I like
about
the human
side.
We appreciate the challenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the human side to this as opposed to just like the Amazon algorithm.
Well, and the other cool thing about the human side of it too is that you can throw in one that you've recently read, you know, that might not even show up in any of the things. I also like things that are a little bit outside the box, like, and if you can explain why, like I know Marley did this a lot. Like when she replied to me, she said, I know you said you don't want this, but I picked it because it does have this, so maybe it's worth a shot. And so I was like, wait a second, I didn't say so-and-so, but she recognized that, and then she was like, but here's why I think you might give it a chance anyway. And I think that's what a good librarian does. I think that's what a good reader's advisory does.
Yeah, and I think when we're responding to, the good thing about it being a human is that we can email back because they'll have their email attached to the form.
Right.
So we can email them back and ask those clarifying questions. If we're like, oh, we think we've got it, but we have a couple things we're not quite sure about. So we can ask that.
It's like, George doesn't know this analogy, but it's like whenever you're wedding dress shopping, people who have purchased wedding dresses, whenever you're wedding dress shopping, you always go in with the picture of like the dress that you want. You're like, I want this dress. And then the person comes in and they have the opposite. And you're like, why are you bringing me that? And they're like, just put it on. I just need you to see yourself in it because they know body types. And you're like, and then you put it on. You're like, wow, actually, that does look really good. Thanks.
It's so true. I wound up in satin, and I was like had sworn off satin.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I went in.
You're absolutely right.
I loved it.
I have no point
in
context for this.
Yeah, George does not know this analogy. Just turn your ears off.
I can listen and observe and enjoy it. Well, Jenny, thank you so much. I know you've been working on this project for a while, and I'm glad it's finally come to fruition. And I hope our listeners will take advantage of it because I think it's a really nice way to leverage the library collection and the expertise of our librarians. So thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
We've got just a couple of things coming up this week that I want to make sure we touch on. Today is the day when teens who are working on their National Novel Writing Month.
You got it.
It can get their tips from an experienced writer who's on staff on our Discord page. So follow up with that. We also are doing a thing this holiday season to collect cards for our homebound patrons. And what we're asking is do a holiday card, sign it, don't put it in an envelope, or if you put it in an envelope, don't seal the envelope. Mm-hmm. That way we can make sure they're going to people who really need them, and we're not getting pranked by anyone.
Right.
And then we'll distribute those to our homebound patrons who get their services through our outreach services department.
Yeah.
You can drop them off at any of our libraries. We'll quarantine them and then make sure that they get to the outreach services to be delivered.
So, and that's all the way through the new year.
That's so all the way, right. Yeah. Yes. You got 8 weeks there to take care of that. So,
right.
And I want to thank the folks in outreach services for thinking of that. And then on Wednesday, drum roll, we are going to have the groundbreaking for our new Liberty Branch Library.
What? Now,
because I'm glad you asked that, because since you're planning it, because of COVID, we can't have, you know, a cast of thousands there. But we are going to be broadcasting this on our Facebook page and on our YouTube page. So if you're not going to be there in person, and most people listening to this probably aren't,
nope.
You can see what we're going to be doing. It'll be a short ceremony, but it's a great way to kick off that project, and we are really excited about that.
Yeah.
So what else do you wanted to cover real quickly here, Nicole?
Last thing I'm going to say is that we had a hard time uploading our Saturday Night Library trivia last Saturday. I was actually a guest host on that one with Mandy. It's Disney, so if you are a Disney Pixar fan, you'll love it. If you know a little bit, you'll probably love it too. We had trouble uploading it last week. We're going to try it again this week. So tune in for Saturday Night Library Trivia, Saturday at 8, Facebook and YouTube, and it'll be Disney.
Great. Thank you very much. And so thank you again, Jenny, for being our guest today and for all the work on the Personalized Picks program.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Nicole, always a pleasure.
Yes, always a pleasure. Happy Friday.
Gage, I hope you enjoy the launch tomorrow.
Hopefully.
And as always, we will see you in the stacks.